And I want to read tonight in your hearing, 1 Kings 17. And I preached from this text, I think a few camp meetings ago, the message, Glory in the Kitchen. And I'm going to kind of start there as a springboard. Most of my preaching is exposition type preaching, but this is one of those, you know, just scattergun preaching. I mean, you know, if y'all know what a scattergun is, I mean, a shotgun's been cut off, hadn't got no choke on it. I mean, the shot just goes every which way. But I feel like this is what the Lord wants me to preach tonight. There's a thought here I want to build on and really preach just a minute here in this text and then share with you what else the Lord has put on my heart. I hope that you'll listen tonight. I believe God will have something for you if you'll listen to what He says through His Word, because His Word is what's important. Don't get mad at the mailman. I'm just a mailman. Hey, I just want to deliver the mail tonight. All right. You pray God to help us tonight. Let's stand together all over the house in reverence to the reading of the Word of the Lord. I'm going to start in verse number 8, but let me preface this and say, Elijah had been called of God to take a message to Ahab. What's going to rain no more. And then the word came to him and said, go hide yourself by Cherith. I've commanded the ravens to sustain thee there. And, of course, he stayed there at Cherith until the brook dried up. The brook dried up, and we pick up in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God, that's Jehovah Elohim, this is a heathen land, Zarephath. But this woman knew something about God. She knew he is alive. As the Lord thy God liveth before, listen what she said, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. I'm going to stop reading there for emphasis' sake and ask the Lord to help us tonight as I preach on this subject. When you get to the bottom of your barrel, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, I want to thank you, Lord, for this good hour to be together. I pray, Lord, that you'd help thy servant as we come to labor in the Word of God. I pray for unction and anointing and a measure of liberty to deliver the message tonight. And I pray, God, you'll appropriate these truths to those who have need tonight, and you'd minister grace to the hearer. And may everything, Lord, strengthen the body of Christ and, Lord, evangelize the lost. And God, bring honor and glory to Jesus our Lord, for we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Someone has well said that man's extremity is God's opportunity. And as we find Elijah in this story, he had been through a time of extremity himself. He had been hunted down, no doubt, for several days by Ahab and his court, but he'd been hiding out there at the brook Cherith, where the Lord sent him meals by way of airmail twice a day and took care of the man of God. And Elijah was there being fed, and they kept coming regular morning and evening, and they brought in and dropped bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. But because of the extended drought, he sat there and watched that little creek, that little brook dry up a little bit every day, a little less every day, a little less every day. And until it come down that where there was just a few drops, and he gathered what he could and stored what he could, and it came to the time that the brook dried up. And now there is no water. He may have bread still coming by way of airmail, but the brook has dried up. Elijah is in a time of extremity. But God will never leave you in extremity without my friend showing you that he's a God that can help you in your time of need. Now, I want to preach on this subject: when you get to the bottom of your barrel, or you might could title it, Blessings at the Bottom of the Barrel. Now, as I begin here in our text that I've read unto you tonight, I see here a barrel and a situation of desperation. Would you believe that? Now, here's that widow woman at Zarephath, and her and her son are living alone in the house. She has no means. She has no bank account. My friend, I'm telling you, things have dried up. The stock market has crashed. And my, she has nothing left, hardly at all. In fact, all she has is one handful of meal in the bottom of the barrel and one little oil in a cruse. And my friend, she is in a time of desperation. Oh, yes. The desperation here. She told Elijah, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me, that we might eat thereof. And it don't take, my friend, much meal for a biscuit. It only takes two sticks to cook it. I'm telling you, this would have been just like a Ritz cracker. I mean, listen, friend, just a little handful of meal in the bottom of her barrel. She was in a time of desperation. But let me tell you, friend, that there was directions given to her by the man of God. And he gave her these directions. Hey, go and do as thou hast said, but make for me a little cake first, and then make for thee and thy son. Now, if that's all he'd said, then she would have been overwhelmed with that request. But he didn't leave her with that, but he gave her the promise of the word of God. Amen. For he said, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, and the cruse of oil shall not fail. Boy, she knew the Lord God of Israel. She knew that he was God. Amen. So she got a hold of that word of God. Amen. And tell you what, in her extremity, God is going to show up and do something spectacular for her and bless her in her time of desperation. But there was also the deliverance. Now you can see the story as it unfolds. And I won't linger much longer here because I preached a whole 45 minutes to an hour last time on it. So I shouldn't have to do it over, 35 or 40 minutes on this point. Hello. By the way, there's this just one of 12. God help. I hope y'all brought dinner. Come on now, I'm just cutting up with you. Hey, but listen, friend, here's the picture. Now, she has the word of God. She claims it. And she goes, I'm sure the devil said, man, you're making the biggest fool of yourself. That preacher's going to hoodoo you. He's going to get the last meal that for you and your son. But she got a hold of the word of God, and she held on to it and said, I'm going to go. I'll live or sink or swim. I'll live or die. I'm going to go and do what the man of God said. She goes there and takes that top off that barrel. And my friend, hey, it's awful dark down in there. I don't see nothing down in there. It's not filled up. It's just as dark as it was the last time. She reaches around there. All is empty. She comes right on around. And my friend finally comes to that little old bitty handful of meal. Now, my friend, she's at the bottom of her barrel. She takes that little cruse of oil, and my friend, she pours, my friend, that little cruse of oil upside down and shakes it till the last drop. Just enough to moisten that little cat head biscuit, and my friend, and to make it and to cook it in the oven with the two sticks that she's brought. And now, my friend, she goes and presents it to the man of God. And my friend, and so he eats and said, now go do thou likewise. Well, she goes back to the barrel, and she knows she got the last handful, and she knows she got the last oil, and I'm sure the devil said, you're the biggest fool there's ever been. That preacher has hoodooed you. Boy, she comes and opens that barrel up and looks down in it, and sure enough, it looks dark. It looks empty. Oh, yeah. And hey, she had got to the bottom of her barrel. Oh, yes. But she says, well, I'm going to reach down in there. She feels around here. There ain't nothing. She feels around here. There ain't nothing. And then all of a sudden, woo, I got another handful. Amen. She went to that same cruise oil and poured it out. Hey, I got some more oil. And she pats that biscuit and cooked. And bless God, for the next several months, there was glory in the kitchen. You say, what in the world happened? I'll tell you what happened. When she got to the bottom of her barrel, she got to the top of his. Hey, and that's going to be the theme of this message tonight. When you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of his. Hey, she come to the end of herself. I'm telling you, she and he and her house did eat many days. Well, now, not just she and he and her son. But she and he and her house. I mean, every morning they were shouting in the kitchen, woo! Got another handful. Every evening, woo! Got another handful. See, I don't believe that's where you don't get blessed. You don't believe nothing. Bless God. I'm telling you what. And her house. Hey. Here comes a straggler knocks on the door and said, ma'am, I hadn't ate in 2 weeks now. And said, I've knocked on every door of every house in Zarephath. And they said, no one's got anything. Said, but down there on this poor avenue is a little shanty there. And there's been some shouting going on down there. We don't know what. Ma'am, could you have a morsel of bread for a poor starving man? Well, come on into my kitchen and sit down there for a bit. Said, I'm going to check this mirror bear. So the last time I checked it, I got the last handful. He said, oh. She gets down there feeling, woo! I got another handful. Hey! And bless God, that little old house became a soul-saving, soul-satisfying station. Amen. She and he and her house did eat many days. Cause when she got in desperation in the bottom of her barrel, she got to the top of his. You may got to your bottom, but you ain't got the gods. I'm telling you, when you've done and spent all and done all and get to the bottom of it, hey, it's time that God will step in. When you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of His. Amen. Now, a little Bible study that declares these truths of how man's extremity is God's opportunity. Here's the lady experiencing the barrel of desperation. I read in the scriptures, my friend, of another barrel that I would like to call the barrel of dead end. Oh, yes. The children of Israel have been miraculously delivered out of Egypt. They've come out by a strong hand. Amen. And by the blood of the Paschal Lamb. And God has brought them out of bondage. And they're on their way. They didn't take the shortcut. God turned them and detoured them down toward the Red Sea. They got down going toward the Red Sea. And my friend, there was a mountain on the right side and a mountain on the left side. And the sea was before them. And now they get the troublesome news that Pharaoh and all of his chariots and armies are encroaching upon their camp. They're coming. They see the dust of boiling by friend from his chariot. Pharaoh and his evil heart was out, my friend, to destroy them or to bring them back into bondage. Hey! And so here they are, nowhere to run. They are at a dead end. And there's no way out. Can't go around behind them. Here's Pharaoh. On the right, a high mountain. On the left, a high mountain. And up ahead, the Red Sea. Not the Reed Sea. The Red Sea. Amen. It wasn't a swamp. It was a sea. Amen. Stay with that Bible. And here they are at a dead end. I mean, that's where they're at. I mean, they're at the bottom of their barrel. They ain't nothing they can do. They don't know what to do. They're crying. They're seeking, oh my soul. And even Moses may be getting upset. And Moses said, don't stand here. Go forward. All of a sudden, amen, Moses lifted up his rod. And you know what, my friend, when they got to the bottom of their barrel and they was at a dead end, you know what God did? They got to the top of His. Because when there is no way out, God will open a way when there ain't no way. That's the kind of God we serve. And that same way of escape for the children of Israel became a place of death and destruction of Pharaoh and his army. God's barrel, amen. I'm telling you, get to the bottom of yours, you get to the top of His. Let's go to another place. I see, my friend, a barrel that I would like to call disorientation. Here, the children of Israel, hey, they've been raised in bondage. They grew up in those ovens, brick kilns, and my friend gathering straw, working laborious hours, untold suffering. They didn't have no training of how to navigate and which way to go. I'm telling you, they come into this wilderness. My friend, they don't have a compass. They don't have a GPS. They don't have a little woman talking out of the radio. 500 feet, turn right. You turn left. Redirect. Turn around. You missed it. They didn't have any of that. My friend, they don't know how to navigate through the wilderness. And God didn't even use Moses, my friend, to navigate. Although he'd been through there, it was not his leadership that led them in the way. They didn't know which way. Have you ever been in that place where you just didn't know which way to go? Have you ever been at wit's end corner and you were so disoriented? I mean, sometimes we get in such an emotional whirlwind that we don't know which way's up. I want to say, friend, when you're disoriented and you get to the bottom of your barrel at wit's end corner, I want to tell you that God, amen, will send a glory cloud. Amen. I said God will send a glory cloud. When you don't know which way to go, He'll lead you. He'll open up the way. In the book of Exodus, we read, my friend, these truths in chapter 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them in the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. Look at this. He took not away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night before the people. He never did take it away. My friend, I'm telling you what, all even when they rebel, yeah, I'll tell you, hey, I promise you, friend, that pillar led them to Kadesh Barnea. And, but they refused to go. And then, my friend, God pronounced judgment on them, and they tried to go, but He wasn't going to lead them then. They went contrary and got defeated. Hello. But here's what I'm seeing in this. God still leads us. I'm glad that providence, amen, still provides guidance. And even when you and I sometimes get all confused and twisted up in our thinking, I'm glad, amen, in shady green pasture, so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. So every step they made and every place they encamped, they did so at the direction of the glory cloud. I preached one time the camp meeting here on follow the cloud and stay with the glory. You need the glory in your life to guide you, to deliver you, my friend, to help you navigate in this lowland of sorrow that we live in. Hey, when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of His. I go on in the story as it unfolds in Exodus. I come to another place, a place called Marah. The people had gotten, you know, they'd had their water. They'd been carrying it. Now they've got, my friend, they have gone 3 days' journey into the wilderness of Shur, and they found no water. 3 days. I mean, what they could carry, my friend, is depleted. And there's no water. 3 days. It's hot out here. It's dry out here. There ain't no water. Up ahead, my friend, they see a few trees and the promise, hey, of an oasis in the desert. And they come that way, my friend, and there they are, and they see water there reflecting, my friend, the sun. And they go running, and my friend, some run out, run the others, and they got down on their face and put the water to their mouth. It's bitter. Don't drink it. There's poison in the water. Now, what kind of place is this? Hey, would you agree with me that they are in a time, my friend, of desperation? Would you agree with me that they have come to the bottom of their barrel? I call this the barrel of disappointment. Because, hey, what looked like it was going to satisfy, what looked like it was going to quench their thirst, is poison instead. Hey, what disappointment there is. I wonder how many in this crowd tonight, and make this personal, there's a message in here for everyone. If you'll listen somewhere, God God, I have something for you. But let me ask you, are there those here tonight? Boy, you saw something. It looked so good. It was going to be the answer to all your problems. And man, it was just going to fit. It was going to be just right until you got there and found the waters were bitter. Oh, disappointment. At the bottom of the barrel of disappointment, I can hear them weeping and crying in the camp. Hey, hey! But when you get to the bottom of your barrel, hey, hey, God steps in and you can get to the top of His. God stepped on the scene and He showed Moses a tree. Woo, isn't that good, brother? I'm saying He showed Moses a tree. And bless God, and he was to cast that tree into those bitter waters. And when he cast that tree into the bitter waters, they were made sweet. Hey, hey, when you get to the bottom of your barrel of disappointment, you'll get to the top of His. And bless God, He'll take you to Calvary and sweeten up your soul. Amen. And you'll get a fresh glimpse of the darling Lamb of God who hung and bled and died for you. Hey, hey. Well, I'll go a little further in their journey. Now, there's 2 million plus. And their herds and their flocks. And I'm sure that they had their unleavened bread for so long. Never was kneaded by a friend. K-N-E-E-D-E-D. It had not been by a friend, but just unleavened, just something like a cracker. I mean, that's all. And they had some. They're a ways now from the sea. There ain't no fishing. There ain't no game. There's 2 million of them. There ain't a bilo. There ain't a food line. There ain't a Walmart, a Wally World. Hello? Ain't a McDonald's. Ain't a Hardee's. Thank God for Hardee's. When this outfit never knew what a cathead biscuit had been for Hardee's. All them pop-top stuff. Hey, could I tell you something, friend? That, hey, listen to me. There's 2 million. Hey, their family's getting hungry. And, man, I'm telling you, they begin to cry. They begin to murmur. The babies are crying. Ain't no food. Ain't no food on the table. Amen. And the cry comes up to Moses, and they ask him, so what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We are down here at the bottom of the barrel of our diet. Hey, hey, some of y'all look like you could go on one. Hello. I like that, don't you, brother? Amen. Hey, hey, but I want you to know there they are. I mean, they're hungry. They're starving. They're at the bottom of their barrel of diet. Hey, hey, hey. I mean, there's nothing they can do. It looks like, my friend, it's all over with. They're down at the bottom of the barrel. But when you get to the bottom of the barrel of what you can do, you get to the top of the barrel of what God can do. I'm telling you there, God rained bread from heaven. Angels' food came by way of the dew. In the morning it was to be gathered. And my friend, 2 million plus people were fed to the full and had all the vitamins and nutrients, amen, to keep them healthy and well. And God, amen, fed. You know how long, do you realize how many train car loads of manna it took to feed 2 million people just one day? And brother, I'm telling you what, if you'll find this out, this truth out, that God not only fed them that day, but He's fed them the next day, and the next day, and 6 days a week, He'd feed them. Amen. And on that 6 day, twice as much would come. Amen. Why is that? God was going to emphasize the Sabbath. He'd give them enough to feed them Sunday dinner. Say amen right there. Hey, brother, here's some blessing I was thinking of a while ago. Man, this crowd was a bunch of Baptists. I guarantee you they's Baptists. That's a murmurous bunch that I tell you what, they is always complaining, murmuring, belly aching, and attacking the preacher. You had to be Baptist, amen? Well, I want you to know, brother and sister, all of their murmuring and all of their and their backslidings. And yet, every morning, the manna came. Even when they rose up and worshiped the calf, the manna still came in the morning. Even when they backslid at Kadesh Barnea, hey, the manna still came in the morning. Telling you what, if the Lord should mark iniquities, who would stand? I want you to know, bless God, there's new mercies every morning. It is God's mercies that we're not consumed. His compassion fail not. I'm glad, bless God, hey, brother, that the Heavenly Father will take care of His young. When you get to the bottom of the barrel of diet, amen, and you ain't got no food, you'll get to the top of God's. Amen. He'll rain it. Hallelujah. All you have to do is gather it. Hey, hey. And bless God, you can gather it in the morning. I want you to know, brother, when you get to the bottom of the barrel, you get to the top of His. Well, they march on. On they go towards Sinai. My friend, they come into that region. And, brother, it was hot. It was dry. It was dusty as they came on into Exodus 17. My friend, there were no more oases to be had. The last one at Elim had been days and days and days behind. There's no rivers. There's no springs. There's no oases as they come to the range of Horeb and the jagged rocks. And my friend, no green, no nothing. I mean, hey, they have come to a place of dehydration. They're dry. They're dry. Oh, my soul. But when you come to the bottom of your barrel and you're dry and dusty and dehydrated, I'm glad, hallelujah, that there is a God can step on the scene and by way of the smitten rock, He can open up fountains of living water, hallelujah, to take care of them. And bless God, I find something about it. According to Corinthians, that rock followed them all the way. I'm glad, bless God, amen, that when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of His. Amen. Told you this was a scattered gun message. Let's go to another nail. Oh, a lot of y'all can identify with this one. Hey, this was preached this morning. 2 Kings chapter 4, we come to the barrel of debt. How many of y'all are in hock up here? Some of y'all working two shifts, all the overtime, got mama working, children working, hello, picking up cans and everything else, because you in debt. Here was a little widow woman, by a friend, her husband, been an independent Baptist preacher. Amen, because he didn't have no. I'll just leave that alone right there. But I'm telling you what, he died, and he left him in debt. And the creditors came, and they were going to take her two sons. And I saw something this morning that I'd never seen in that text. They came to take her two sons because, you see, they were big enough and strong enough to be servants. But evidently she had other family members because it didn't say go take and pay for thy debt and thy sons live, but in thy family. Amen. So that's a thought that hit me. But anyway, here she is in debt. She's in debt. She's at the bottom of a barrel. She's at her wits end. And my friend, I'm telling telling you what, and some of y'all have been to that place where, my friend, you've robbed the piggy bank. Some of y'all's got in and dug in the couches. Come on now, and y'all ever done that? Went out and took the car apart, digging up what change you could. Amen. I mean, listen, bless God, even little Sally's piggy bank, you broke it up. I mean, you got to have some money. I mean, in debt. I mean, she was in debt, and the creditors were going to come and enslave her boys, my friend, to settle that debt. Would you believe that she's at the bottom of the barrel? But boy, she went to the man of God. Amen. Said, thou knowest my husband feared God. And amen. Well, the sons of the prophet met. She went to the man of God. And he said, hey, says to her. Amen. What'd you say to her? What'd you say to her, preacher? Well, hey, what do you need? What do you need? Well, duh, they're coming to take my boys. I need help. Said, what? Well, hey, what have you got in the house? That handmaid have nothing in the house save a little pot of oil. Amen. Said, well, hey, that's all you need. Hey, when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of his. I'm telling you, God can pay bills and do it in such a way that you can scratch your head all day and can't explain how it come. But just in time, it always comes. The silliest thing in the world, that preacher told him. Go out through the country. Borrow empty vessels, not a few. All kinds, size, colors, and amen. Just bring, they just got to be empty. Bring them in the house. Shut the door. Boy, I got a message on behind closed doors. God does some things behind closed doors. Amen. You get shut in with Jesus and shut out the world. Business can pick up. Say amen right there. Hey, she got in there behind closed doors. And, well, don't you reckon everybody thought it was strange? These boys are carrying in pots. They filled up the living room, the bedroom, of the amen. They filled up the parlor. I mean, there's empty vessels everywhere. And all she's got is a little old pot. That's all she's got. But you know what it is? It's a pot of oil. As that preacher preached this morning, it's that holy anointing. And bless God, she just got to pour it out. And she pour out and fill up a vessel, amen, much bigger than what she is a poured out of. She had got to the bottom of her barrel, but when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of his. When she is a pouring out one end, God was a pouring in the other. What that little cruise of oil had become was a conduit from the glory world. Amen. And bless God, when you get to the bottom of your barrel and don't know how you're going to meet the need, there is a God in heaven that knows where you're at. And he's promised to supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hey, when you get to the bottom of your barrel of debt, you get to the top of his. You're God's youngin'. Bless God. Hello, I don't know. I don't think you have to have all them toys. Hello? I mean, you might have to sell a bass boat or two or a shotgun or 306 or assault rifle. I don't know. You might have to let go of some of them toys. But I want to tell you what, if you're trying to live for God and you tithe and you honor God with your substance, and if you'll make available what you got, amen, I'm telling you, you're talking to a man that believes that God can supply the need, and my friend, and he'll do so in such a way, bless God, that not only is the debt satisfied, hallelujah, but there's plenty left over. Hey, how many of you here saved tonight? Are you saved? Are y'all with me? Y'all wake up? Yeah, all right. Can you think of a time, beloved, when you as a family, you was up against it, and you didn't know where it was to come from, and you did everything you could, and out of nowhere, it came in, and you don't know. somebody, a bank had made a mistake and they send you the money to make it up. How many of you have ever experienced anything like that? Well, you wave your hand. Why don't you put the other one up a little bit and say hallelujah. Praise God. When you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of His. Let me go a little further in the scriptures. I want to come to another barrel, and I'm going to call this the barrel of danger. I look at Hezekiah. I look in the 2 Kings in chapter 19 and verse 14 and following. Hezekiah is threatened by an overwhelming force of the Assyrian army. And the Assyrian army has ravaged and raped the land and destroyed kingdoms. And nobody's been able to stand against this Assyrian king. Hezekiah is in danger. Man, he is in siege in Jerusalem. He had enough sense by a friend to make a conduit to bring water into the city. And my friend, they had a limited supply of food in the city. And there was a siege that had come. And my friend, along with the siege, there came somebody threatening my friend and saying blasphemous words against Hezekiah and against the Lord God. And my friend, and then there came that hour when they came back. What was Rabshakeh had come back with letters, my friend, had threatening letters, and gave to Hezekiah. I'm telling you what, he's in danger. He hadn't got an army big enough to face that army. He hadn't got enough military might, my friend, to turn away one of the Sure enough, they don't have enough horsemen, enough chariots, enough war machines. I'm telling you, they're just a small town compared to the Assyrian host. But oh, he's at the bottom of his barrel of danger. But when you get to the bottom of your barrel of danger, what you can do, bless God, is what Hezekiah did. You can go down to the house of God. Amen. And you can take all of that that's troubling you. Amen. And that's, hey, by the way, you know what? We don't take advantage of these altars enough. We carry our sorrows out those doors when you need to bring them down and spread them before the Lord. Yeah. You say, well, God knew that. I know, but Hezekiah wanted to bring it down there and spread it before God. Some of y'all too rotten proud. They might think I've sinned if I go down. Well, every one of you is a sinner. Watch out, that halo's been pushed up one side with a horn. Hey, but when you get to the bottom of your barrel of danger, I'm telling you what, and you spread it before the Lord, God doesn't have to send an army. He just sends one angel. Just one. Not even half a dozen. Just one. One unnamed angel. And bless God, this one unnamed angel, I'm telling you what, he slew 185,000 Assyrian troops. Amen. So I don't believe. Hey, God did it. When you get to the bottom of your barrel of danger, you can get to the top of God. I'm glad God can protect us from Sun Young Moon. What's that dude over there in Korea? Whatever his name is, he looks like, well, I don't tell you what he looks like. Looks like a spoiled rotten brat's what he looks like. And I'm telling you what, we're in a dangerous time. And don't think just because we ain't on the West Coast that if they was to shoot something, it'd hit San Francisco and God help. Or, you know, Asheville, if it hit some of these queer cities. Hey, I want to tell you what, if there one hits somewhere on the West Coast, I'm telling you what, it'll affect everyone. There won't be a piece of bread. I mean, listen, just a little storm coming and you can't get a piece of bread. The shelves are by low Walmart. People will be hoarding. They'll be killing one another. They'll be breaking. They'll be trying to starve. I'm telling you what, people, you talk about long lines. And what if they drop an EMP? And all of a sudden, my friend, everything that has a computer chip in it is melted. How many of us would be walking then? I wouldn't be walking. I bought me a little fold-up bicycle I got in the back of my trunk. It ain't got no electronic doodads on it. But we may be in danger, but I'm glad, bless God, in our danger, there's a God of heaven that knows we belong to Him. He knows we love Him. He takes care of His own. There's nothing going to happen to you. My friend, that God doesn't orchestrate or comes across the depths of His providence. I'm glad God will take care of you. How many times has God's angels protected us and our children? Even before I knew God, I was climbing Geronimo's Cliff in Fort Sill, Oklahoma. Geronimo had busted out of the Fort Sill prison, got him a horse, and run off. And he came to a place over there in the old mountain range where there was a 250-foot, maybe 300-foot drop cliff to the riverbed below. And the armies were coming after Geronimo. And Geronimo, my friend, backed up and rode that horse off that cliff. That's where we get this, Geronimo! That's where we get that saying. But that's an actual fact. And Geronimo, of course, the horse killed the horse and broke both of his legs, but he escaped being captured. Well, I told that to tell this. When I was like 10 or 11, we was out there at the base of that place, at a little place called a park where they had picnic shelters and all, and we was having family picnics. Well, I was a guy that liked to climb. And I'm telling you what, all of a sudden, I am two-thirds up that cliff, and I hear, Rudy! My mama's screaming and about to have a heart attack, and I slip, but something held me up. Oh, my soul! I'm telling you, even before I got saved, I believe God protected me. He knows those that are, amen, the ones of, amen, God knows who they are. Hey, how many times have you escaped death just that close? Don't you know there's been unseen angels, hey, that have ministered unto the heirs of salvation? When you get to the bottom of your barrel, danger, you get to the top of His. Let's go to the New Testament. A couple of these New Testament, I'll be done. We've been doing pretty good. Hey, we come down to this one, number 9. I just got 12. Here we are at number 9 already. We're doing all right. You okay? I call this the barrel of discouragement. Now, we go to Luke chapter 5. And we find that the Lord is on board the boat with a bunch of fishermen, with Peter and his crew. And He instructs them, after He used their boat for a pulpit, He instructs them to launch out into the deep and let down their nets for a draught. Now, here's what Peter said. Simon answered, said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. I'm telling you what, these boys were raised up on that lake. They knew the best hottest fishing holes. They knew the best bait. They knew the best place. And my friend, and they were professionals. I'm telling you, they had the best equipment. Amen. They had the right depth finders and the fish finders and everything else they had that was available in that day. And them boys, I'm telling you, they knew everything in every nook and cranny of that lake. They knew, and they'd worked all night. And taken not even one, not even a tadpole. And taken nothing. Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of feel like these fellas are discouraged. This may be for the preachers. How many times have you knocked on doors? And how many times have you thrown the old gospel net? And my friend, you toiled and you worked and you toiled all night and you threw out that and you took nothing. And you did all you knew to do. You knew what ways to go. You knew what words to say. And how many times, men of God, have you and I cast the net and come up empty? And we at times do get mighty discouraged. But can I tell you, when you get to the bottom of your barrel of discouragement and come to the end of yourselves, you can get to the top of His. Amen. Because Peter went on to say, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll let down the net. Amen. And when they had so done, what they so done, bless God, he gave them, he said, paddle on out there. I'm reading between the lines. But no, not here. Well, boy, there's a hot spot there. No, not here. Paddle. Well, Lord, they ain't never no fish. Paddle on out there. Don't you think He knows where they're at? Bless God. I'm telling you what. Hey. He done sent a telepathic message to every minnow and tadpole and catfish and brim and trout and bass, bless God, in Lake Gennesaret. Said, y'all assemble over here at this point. Bless God, they just, where are we going? I don't know, everybody else going this way. Well, let's go. They just swim over there. Amen. And he said, this is it. Well, the Lord, I'm just imagining Peter said, Lord, I ain't never caught nothing here. He said, this is it. All right, nevertheless, throw it over the net. Man, I'm telling you what. And they got so many fishes, they filled up that boat. And they filled up another boat, and those boats were so full that they were literally sinking with the weight of the fish. Hey. Oh, man of God, just keep a fishing, but do it at His word. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Let Him take you to the place to let down the net. When you get to the bottom of the barrel of discouragement, you get to the top of His. Well, let's go a little further in the gospel. Come down to John chapter 6. And I see, my friend, another barrel. I call the barrel of deficiency. You see, when you have too many guests to feed, with what resources you have, hey, you're deficient. You don't have enough. Jesus had the multitudes following Him. And my friend and the disciples said, send them away, they might find me. He said, you give them these. He said, well, Lord, we got the offering here, 200 pence worth ain't enough to take care of this crowd. I mean, there were 5,000 men, and how many women and children? They could have been 15,000. I don't know. But my friend, they didn't have enough. That's all they had. They were deficient. They were out of resources. But there's a little lad there. Lord, I don't know. This is all I got. But I'm going to give it to y'all. Amen. And God can take little. Amen. And God can take the insignificant. And God can take the small. Amen. I'm telling you, He can do that. And bless God, they broke Him. Christ blessed it, broke it, and fed the 1,000 and took up basketfuls left over. I'm saying to you, when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you get to the top of His. I go to Acts chapter 16, and I see Paul and Silas, the bottom of the barrel, down there where? In the dungeon. Down there in the dungeon. In the deep, dark dungeon, my friend, the sewage running. There where they were in stocks, their backs are busted and broken up, skin and bleeding they are. And my friend, they're down there in the dungeon. A little discouraging, I would say. My friend, there they are. It's dark. They're bound. They're in the prison house. All they did was to, my friend, cast out a demon out of a little girl. Amen. And set her free and brought the gospel light, my friend, of that city of Philippi. And here they are down in the dungeon. I mean, they're in a dungeon. They're in a dark, dark place. But I'm telling you what, when you find yourself in the dungeon bound and wounded, I'm saying this to you, that God is able to give you a song. Amen to sing. And a shout to shout. And God is able to shake things up. And he shook up that jailhouse. That's the first case of the jailhouse rock for you Elvis Presley fans. Hey. Oh, my soul shook the jailhouse. And the stocks were loosed. And the doors flung open. And none of the prisoners left. And the old jailer came. He was going to slay himself because they would torture him for losing those prisoners. And he's just going to, and Paul said, do thyself no harm. We're all here. What are you saying? I'm saying you may find yourself, my friend, in a place that's like a dungeon. And you're all bound. And my friend, you're all troubled. And you don't see no way out. And looks like the devil has got you bound up and is going to destroy you. And there you are in the lowest place imaginable. And you can't even reach up and touch, my friend, bottom. It seems like you've got to the bottom of your barrel. But God. When you get to the bottom of your barrel, you can get to the top of his. Number 12, and we're done. I go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul has been rehearsing all that he'd been through as an apostle. And talked about the revelations. I knew a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell. He's called up into heaven, to the paradise of God, and heard unspeakable words. And Paul goes on and talks and says, and unless he would be exalted, they were sent unto him a messenger of Satan to buffet his body, to keep him from getting so proud. I'm talking about this barrel of being devil afflicted. I'm telling you, when you are afflicted to the point of weakness, and my friend, and you haven't got and you pray, and you ask God for deliverance, and Paul prayed, and he prayed again, and he prayed again, and God answered his prayer and said, no. Have you forgotten that no is an answer? Amen. When you get, my friend, to the place where you're devil afflicted and mind, you pray and it don't seem like your prayers are answered and yet denied, you get at the bottom of your barrel, it is then that you'll find poured in you will be grace sufficient to strengthen you for the battle, for the journey, and give you victory. I'm telling you what, when you get to the bottom of your barrel, you'll get to the top of his. God will take care of his own. That's 12 examples of hundreds we could give in the scriptures, but I end with this as our song leader comes and our musicians come. I end with this tonight by saying this. In each of these examples that I've given you tonight, we find folk who had come to the end of themselves. And maybe that's the reason you haven't got what God wants you to get, is because you haven't come to the end of yourself. When you come to the end of yourself and you turn